Hello and welcome to another episode of The Hollows at Noon. This is a conversation with my brother. I'm Liam Noonan, and I'm going to be talking with my brother, Aiden Noonan, about the GOP presidential debate. And then later on in the episode, we're going to talk about the summer of strikes that just happened. We already recorded that part first.
Yeah, that took us a long time. This part is going to be...
This part is going to be like a whole...
This a whole should be...
30 on. Minutes plus like another 15 minutes. Because I'm recording this on Anchor... And we're only going to have like 30 minute limits. So I have like 3 pages of notes written down.
I just started taking notes on stuff that I wanted to talk about. Some of the other comments made in the debate.
So I'm going to start first. Yeah. Just going to list my notes off one by one. The first debate needed Trump. Trump would have made the debate
so much
entertaining and funny. He would have been like on the ball asking Mike Pence all about why he didn't overturn the election on January 6th.
That were directed at him.
He would interrupt people. He would get the crowd behind him. He would probably like make up nicknames on the spot. Okay. So he would have made it feel like an hour and 30 minutes instead of a full 2 hours.
The, if he wasn't being funny, he probably made a ton of jokes at his expense.
Each of the candidates had 1 minute to answer questions, which they went over. They talked about Bidenomics, which is like people complaining about inflation. I don't know how bad it is right now. It's kind of bad. But it's getting better. They, of course, had to talk about Hunter Biden, fossil fuels, welfare, inflation again. They're mostly men on the stage. There's 7 men, 1 woman. I forgot who said these things, but I wrote down accountant in the White House and toxic regulation.
That was, I think that was first brought up by the female.
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley.
I wrote down in all caps, why did DeSantis focus on lockdowns? Vivek Ramaswamy wrote, the climate change agenda is a hoax. They talked about abortion. The governor of South Carolina, I think, talked about his 6-week abortion ban. They talked about Florida's heartbeat ban.
Heart week typically starts to show between like 6 and 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So isn't that basically the same thing as the 6 week?
Yeah, they call it band. The heartbeat ban. Mike Pence said it's not a state issue, it's a moral issue. So it went from being like a federal issue to a state issue, and now it's a moral issue.
It's always been a moral issue. The problem is people couldn't just keep it at a moral issue.
Mm-hmm.
they made it political with Planned Parenthood and the fight for abortion rights ending in Roe v. Wade. Now, it's always been this moral issue because people want to believe that there isn't a, that there shouldn't be a separation between moral and political problems.
And they talked about adoption rates, which, you know, I'm fine with, but it's up to the woman, really, if they want to go through with the pregnancy and whether or not they want to keep the child as their own or put up for adoption. They talked about crime. The left has been saying defund the police for the past 5 years. Not true.
You don't need to defund the police, though. We just need to redirect what we're funding.
Redirect funds and educate people. The DOJ walked away from Hunter Biden's gun charges. No, they didn't. Because now...
Didn't they get him on like...
Now he's indicted because of the federal gun charges.
Did he get indicted on like 4 counts of federal gun charges?
Yeah.
Apparently there's something about them attempting to prove that Joe Biden was somehow also illegally gained funds from his son's tax evasion.
Yeah, all Hunter Biden did was call Joe Biden up on the phone like a couple times just to prove that Joe Biden's his dad. Meanwhile, Eric and Don Jr. were running the Trump organization, which Trump didn't step down from during his presidency. And whenever the White House hosted foreign leaders, he would invite them to the Trump Hotel in Washington so that he can make a profit off of it.
Yeah. That is clearly gaining illegal funds. It's easy to prove because he's Donald Trump. He probably made a speech about it.
They all were for closing the southern border. Ron DeSantis said that the DA's office was funded by George Soros.
DeSantis is one of the big three politicians I absolutely loathe.
7 out of the 8 politicians rose their hand when they were asked if they would support Donald Trump's re-election campaign. The only one who didn't support Donald Trump was Governor Hutchinson. He said that Trump might be disqualified under the 14th Amendment, which I agree.
Yeah. 14th Amendment right to due process.
China, they pretty much all said that we're driving Russia further into China's hands, which doesn't make sense.
Isn't Russia more powerful than China?
Yes!
Sometimes I believe that people want to stay idiots.
Pence wanted us to push Russia out of Ukraine, but Ramaswamy didn't. He wanted to pretty much give Ukraine back to Russia and focus on the southern border.
For those of you that didn't know, apparently Russia's plan, if Ukraine falls, is to go into Poland, which sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Poland is a NATO-aligned country. They invade Poland, Poland declares war, England declares war. France declares war.
Yeah,
NATO alliance aligned country is then forced to declare war under the NATO pact.
Guess who invaded Poland 80 years ago and lost?
The man with the tiny mustache.
Badly. They wanted to defund the IRS.
Yeah, defund the people that enforce their taxes. That's fun.
Russell Brand looked weird. We used the Rumble stream. And like after every half an hour, it was the same two commercials.
Over and over.
It was one.
Until they throw in the one about gun safety.
There was one about like buying gold and putting all of your retirement funds into gold.
Because then the government couldn't steal it.
And then the other one was a Rumble ad for. That's an ad for Rumble with Russell Brand, who, if you don't know,
be kicking themselves in the butt now.
He's kind of like a failed comedian turned political commentator who recently was accused of sexually assaulting four women. He kind of looks like he sexually assaulted women. The long hair and the beard, like,
oh my god, the guy looks like a complete degenerate.
In the early 2000s, he wore like heavy eyeliner. He looked like
emo boy too.
No, he looked like a rock star. Who wanted to be emo.
The knockoff version of Kiss.
Yeah. Yeah, he just looked weird, but all of the candidates, they wanted to use the government shutdown to fund portions of the wall, which wouldn't work because you would have to go through Congress.
Under, people can fly over, people can go around.
That too, but you have to go through Congress to get the funding for the wall. And if the government shut down, guess what Congress is doing? Nothing.
Not a dang thing.
Education. Why would they want to eliminate the Department of Education? I have a theory that they're just being paid for
money
by these private schools, these private colleges.
Most definitely.
Just to defund public education.
Which is hilarious because a majority of states like New York primarily rely on public education because most people can't afford to go to private.
To go to private schools. To go to private charter schools, no less.
There's also this big thing with socioeconomics, which also plays a role in basically just social economics, where the more marginalized groups I think are getting paid less.
So they don't pay as much in taxes, therefore the government doesn't fund their local schools.
I mean, The school system is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. What a lot of people don't really understand is that when they started introducing the standardized testing a long time ago now, technically standardized testing were actually put into law back in the 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't actually mandated until the No Children Left Behind Act, which established the Common Core.
Yeah.
Which 2020 brought into light how majorly flawed that whole system was. Because individual school testing was actually determined based off of school performances on state tests.
Yeah.
So the school systems get 47% of their funding from taxes. The individualized is then, I think, separated by school performance or by state.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, they actually get $19.59 billion for education, which seems like a lot of money, but if you're on a testing-based school, then public schools aren't really known for having good test scores.
Mm-hmm.
What Ramaswamy pointed out was how he would point majority of the blame on the teachers' union, break the back of the teachers' union.
Yeah.
What teachers make $5,800 a year.
$58,000 a year.
Was it $58,000?
$58,000.
That was $5,800.
No.
They spend $500 of that on the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if it's $500,000, their gross income is $58,000 a year, then if you separate that into monthly pay, that's only a couple thousand. Which is what you primarily want to look at, because your gross income is how much you made over the year, not how much you made by month.
Which isn't enough.
It's not a lot.
Like, rent nowadays, New York City is like $1,500.
Yeah. That cuts a chunk of their money just for rent.
Mm-hmm.
They spend $500 on the classroom, which is one of the most important parts of
$2,000 for like 1 month.
$5,800 divided by 12, that's $9,000 a month? No.
No. $58,000 divided by 12. $4,833 around.
Around there. So do you have to take out rent, take out electricity, take out gas, take out food, taxes.
Taxes. That's not enough.
That's not enough. So yes, teachers, they've been having problems with the teachers' union coming back from COVID because they wanted mm-hmm. more money. Because they had to do more work at home. But
that's what we get into in the later. Second half of this episode.
Ramaswamy was the second person there that I really didn't like.
Who's the third person?
Trump.
No, who was there that you didn't like? Third person.
Ramaswamy, Lizard Man.
DeSantis.
I created nicknames too. I could not remember their names. Uh, The Sanctus was the lizard man. Ramaswamy was psycho.
And the third
there's
one.
There's the... there's the big guy that was constantly talking about how he's from a hometown and he had all these hometown values and...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's his name? The big dude that I
don't remember, but he's in the compilation that I probably just played. Yeah.
They didn't really like him. The one that I thought was better than the rest of them was the female. It's just because she made a nice point about abortion.
Nikki Haley?
Nikki Haley.
Governor Hutchinson, he made a nice-ish point. He said that he wants to bring computer science to every school in the nation.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, that's fair.
Problem is funding.
Yeah. How are they going to get the funding?
It's like my high school had 3 computer labs.
Mm-hmm.
2 of them, the computers were awfully old machines.
Yeah, and the third one.
The third one, they like...
was kind of filled with modern Macs, right?
Yeah. They had it updated to Microsoft 10 and all that stuff.
Actually, no, there's 4? We went to the same school.
There's like 3 in one hallway on 2 separate floors.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, one... I actually think they spent a ton of money upgrading the Lenovos that they had. So, there's like 2 that were non-Macs, and then 1 that was the computer science class, and I think the art design.
Yeah.
Both taught by the same teacher. And business. Both taught by the same teacher.
They all commented on Joe Biden's mental acuity, which was a little weird because Joe Biden and Donald Trump
are 4 years apart.
3 years. Three years apart.
He's 79?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And Trump said that Biden, just recently, he said that Joe Biden was going to come. It's going to start World War II.
I think Trump's sort of starting to go down the drain mentally.
Chris Christie was asked about the UFO. He said, "I get the UFO question." And my last note that I took was again about inflation. And I wrote down inflation. You're supposed to say like Marsha from the Brady Bunch. Marsha. Inflation. Like, what is Joe Biden gonna do about inflation when Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kristen Sinema are just going to block it?
And they also bring up trans rights in sports.
Nikki Haley said that biological boys do not belong in girls' locker rooms. Tim Scott also said that when... in his closing remarks, that if you were born a male, you're going to play with other men. If you're born a woman, you play with other women. But yeah, I'd like to go over some of my favorite quotes real quick, because we have about 5 minutes. There was Cultural Civil War, the George Soros funded district attorney's bid from Ron DeSantis, the climate change agenda is a hoax. They call President Joe Biden President Open Doors.
When someone was talking about education, they called it the civil rights issue of our time. And Chris Christie's, I get the UFO question at the end. What was your favorite quote?
I'd probably say the whole Ramaswamy on climate change is a hoax.
He just wanted to be like Trump's vice president pick. Like when all the candidates were asked if they were to support Trump, his hand like shot up.
Well, it's funny, wasn't he basically demeaning Trump like last year?
Mm-hmm.
When all this stuff that Trump did was coming to light?
Yeah. He was the first person to raise his hand. And then he asked Mike Pence if...
Tweet a racial slur.
He would ask Mike Pence if Mike were to join him in supporting Donald Trump. Like, why would Mike Pence support Donald Trump? Especially since
Trump's followers tried to have him killed
years
ago.
Like, they were threatening his life. They had the gallows right out front of the Capitol building. They were chanting, like, hang Mike Pence. Why would he support him?
Another thing I wanted to mention was the crime rates.
Just quickly, because we got 2 minutes.
They primarily went for the simple solutions, like blame repeat offenders on the wardens that are failing to keep them in the jail system.
Mm-hmm.
Blame it on police, defund the police. That's not the answer. It was like, what about teen and kid related gun violence? That's mm-hmm. technically a crime. That's a whole different thing. That's different thing. Mm-hmm. you know, for simple solutions instead of the effective ones, like making it harder for people with horrible mental health to get their hands on guns. People with, you know, focus more on retraining.
1 minute.
And that's basically it.
See, I think we got everything, actually, in 30 minutes. We
condensed a lot of it to the basics.
But we were just having fun watching the debate.
Oh, yeah, no, totally wasn't growing in pain through most of it.
Yeah. Again, Trump, why didn't you show up for the debate?
For someone that hates doing personal interviews, he tends to gravitate towards doing personal interviews.
Yeah. You would have won.
You would have won easily.
Again, in the next half of this episode, we're going to go over the union strikes. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. And now we're going to talk about what's been dubbed the Summer of Strikes. We're going to talk about specifically the Writers Guild of America strike and the Screen Actors Guild versus the AMPTP. And we're going to talk about the United Auto Workers strike. As of today, the Writers Guild of America has come to an agreement with the AMPTP. They're working on a tentative deal right now. And SAG-AFTRA is expected to follow close behind. They were fighting for mostly the same things.
Yeah.
Residuals, and AI plus healthcare. The Writers Guild of America, they wanted studios to not come to them with intellectual properties that AI generated, or scripts that AI generated that then needed to be fixed and worked on. And the Screen Actors Guild, they didn't want studios to use AI to create digital actors. What the studios proposed to do was they would scan like a actor in the background of a shot and use AI to reuse that same face. And they only pay the actor once, and the actor can't go and do other work because the studios that have the scans of their faces own their likenesses.
Right.
So that's weird.
I mean, the problem isn't recent.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the problem is companies think that they can outlast their workers.
Yeah.
Which by realistic means they probably can. But you're also for a period of time projecting at a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, at one point the Newsboys Union shut down the entirety of New York because the majority of New York's working class were kids under the age of 21.
Mm-hmm.
And so their primary gripe was with the newspapers raising prices.
If you hear like a slight meow, that's our cat.
Our youngest mix. Cat.
Begging
for attention.
So the WGA has come to a tentative deal with the studios, but it was the longest strike that the guild has ever put on. 5 months, 143 days. Started back in May, since May 2nd, and SAG-AFTRA has been on strike since July 14th.
It's been gone for a long time.
Yeah. So there were threats from the AMPTP saying that oh, you know, we're just gonna wait this thing out, let the writers starve, let them get evicted from their own apartments, and then force them
to come back and work for us.
Sign the deal that we want. And the writers actively called it out and said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to continue to picket. Bob Iger went on MSNBC at like a billionaire's retreat complaining about how hard it was on Disney to pay, if they were to pay the $41 million.
Yeah, no, Disney would have to spend a total of under like 0.01% of their total yearly income to set up a strike.
Disney's value is worth like $75 billion. You know, Bob Iger owns, I think, like a $400 million yacht or something like that.
That and Disney's gotten started some controversies over in Florida, but
David Zaslav, the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, the company that just released Barbie, has a net worth of like $500 million. Warner Brothers is expecting to lose like $300 to $500 million just because of the strike.
The writers go on strike, nothing happens. Because there's no scripts.
You can't rewrite a script.
You can't rewrite a script. You can't change a script.
You can't hire a writer for a project. And so they wanted clearer numbers from Netflix. Because if you were to write like a popular episode of Seinfeld back in the day and it gets syndicated on TV on a channel, you would be making like thousands of dollars. Now that Seinfeld's on Netflix, they don't make anything because Netflix doesn't really release their streaming data.
Streaming services technically are, you know, actors do have to get paid extra for.
They do, but they don't make a lot.
That's why Scarlett Johansson sued Disney like 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Black Widow going to
Disney Plus
Gold or whatever it was.
Premier Access,
yeah.
They
didn't get to see a cut of that.
Yeah. They were both fighting for minimum earnings protections from AI and raising contribution caps to health insurance. Because in America, you know, the only affordable health insurance is through a private employer.
Yeah.
That
will be talked about.
Yep. Now, let's talk about the United Auto Workers. The United Auto Workers strike is the most recent strike. And today, Joe Biden just made history as the first president to ever join the picket line.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought you just gave a speech.
No, he was out there.
Wow.
He was holding up the megaphone.
Man, people call this man a bad president.
Mm-hmm. People say that it's going to have an effect on the big three automakers in this country. Ford, I think General Motors and Stellantis, they're the company that owns Fiat and Dodge. They're the ones that are on strike. They want higher pay.
Yeah.
The people who were hired before 2007, they get more benefits. And that was because during the housing crisis, the big three companies decided to come to an agreement on that. But people who were hired after the housing crisis, they get nothing. Pretty much. They get $17 an hour and like a bag of peanuts. They're just fighting so that they can afford to live here in America, where the cost of housing crisis is up. The cost of living crisis, actually, I should say. You know, inflation's up.
And depending on which political side, you blame different people.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of actually searching for real solutions, but that's just politics.
Yeah.
You don't want real solutions, you want quick ones. Even if the quick ones cost you more money in the long run, but... Let's keep going.
Back when the strike started, if it were to last 10 days, which I think it did, it would have cost the big three companies like $5 billion already. Compared to like Warner Brothers, who just released Barbie, the most successful film of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And that only made like $1.3 billion.
That nobody knew they ever wanted.
But yeah, it's crazy. I just saw a video today where a whole bunch of people that GM hired to do the customer service work are trying to get in to their jobs, and the picket line is stopping them.
Which, by the way, is actually well within their right.
Yeah.
Technically, it's the weird thing about protests, mm-hmm. is so long as they're on public property and the police are notified, anything they do is almost perfectly legal.
Yeah.
So if they notify the police that they're going to shut down a street, they can do it. The only way they can't is if they actually go onto public property, but that's not what they're going to do.
Property.
Private property. Not public property. Private property.
They can picket right outside the front gates of
so long as they don't cross the gate.
So long as they don't
You can record someone on public property. You can record someone on private property so long as you're on public property.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you don't have to apply to privacy rules. There is no expectant right to privacy in public.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing in police stations, but it's why police can lie to you.
But yeah. They deserve to be paid more.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, they're working like 40 hours. They even want 40 hours of work. They work like a manufacturing job, which is pretty hard. I work at Amazon and I'm on my feet like maybe most of the time, maybe like 9 hours of my shift.
You mentioned the Newsboys Union back in the early 1900s. They went on strike because Pulitzer got all the major newspapers in New York to raise the price for the workers from 50 cents per hundred to 60% per hundred, trying to get their rotations up. So that would force the working kids, the newsies, to sell 10 times more the amount of paper that they were selling originally. So the newsies were operating at a loss. They couldn't sell back the papers that they couldn't sell, but they bought 100 papers. So whatever papers they couldn't sell, they had to keep, which then became useless.
Yeah.
It also demonstrates the need for negotiations, because Pulitzer refused to negotiate, and they shut down New York. They literally shut down New York. It was hilarious. And then they got everybody basically to surround Pulitzer's headquarters.
But yeah, that's the power of unions. They protect workers.
They protect workers. They basically they become a brotherhood, or they become like a family. They're not. Basically, they do what they can to protect the people that are in the same situation as them.
Mm-hmm.
Back when the Newsboys Union first started, their leader at the time had a line where he says, "For the sake of every boy in every sweatshop and slaughterhouse, I beg you, join your union." He said that to the scab workers that were coming in to replace them and got all of them to join the union. It was a funny moment.
Let me play the video that I just found on Twitter of Joe Biden on the picket line.
They're gonna damn well pay.
First president to ever join a picket line. Which is insane.
Historic.
Yeah.
This man is what, 80?
82.
And he's going down there and he's doing the hard work. He's by no means the first president to actively do something to fix the nation. But I think he's done a pretty good job at recovery from COVID. So
yeah, I think he could doing something a little bit more to encourage unionization, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because our unionization rates are at an all-time low, like maybe 10% of our workforce is part of the union.
That's why a lot of companies tend to target states that don't mandate unionized workers.
It's like also why there are no Walmarts in New York City.
No Walmarts? Also no Amazons in New York City?
Mm-hmm. There was.
There was, but they shut that down because it unionized. Walmarts aren't unionized. Amazon mostly isn't unionized.
Starbucks mostly isn't unionized.
Starbucks, I know there was one store that unionized. I think
there's
in California.
There's one in like Buffalo, New York.
Huh.
There's
a couple Starbucks that unionized. Dunkin'? I don't know.
Yep. There's Dunkin' Donuts in New York City, so they're unionized.
McDonald's is unionized. Burger King, unionized. KFC, unionized. Taco Bell, probably unionized. Even though I don't know if there's much Taco Bells left in New York.
There is.
There's one, but Friendly's, God knows what happened to Friendly's.
They're going bankrupt.
Oh, they have?
Yeah, they're going bankrupt.
Toys R Us is probably unionized. Even though there's no official full Toys R Us stores anymore, but they're making a comeback.
Yeah.
Somewhat, but GameStop's probably unionized for all I know.
See, unionization works. You know, after you retire, there's certain unions that'll give you like a pension every month. They can give you like affordable health insurance.
This is the reasons why we have unions. Were the reason why we have child labor laws. Back in the no, it wouldn't really count as a work union, but back in the I think it was 1880. There was a major group going around called the I think it was the Christian Women's Association. Basically, they were attempting to make their way into the political sphere, primarily driving home the points of child labor laws and abolition, which those would then get picked up by some famous person at the time that I can't for the life of me remember the name of. Some weird guy that knew how to use politics to his advantage and ended up picking up prohibition but not child labor laws. But unions were the reason that child labor laws would eventually get put in place, because they were seeking better treatment in factories. Which, if you've seen some of the kids working in the factories, is
horrible. All because what? Employers wanted
extra pay.
No, they wanted like little kids to walk in between machines.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, yeah, no. Kids' working conditions were horrible.
Yeah.
They were they'd lose fingers and toes inside the machines because they were the only ones that could reach in to replace the parts. Of course, there was probably no safety training.
There definitely wasn't any safety training.
Kids would have to go in shoeless.
Sometimes, you know, when you're eating ground beef back in the day, before the FDA was even a thing, you would even wonder if you're actually
dead
eating
rat meat.
cow meat or finger? Yeah, unionization works, yet companies like Amazon, well, I shouldn't really say Amazon because we're also on Amazon Music. Companies like Walmart, they would send in people vote against unionization.
Union busters.
Yeah. You know, Gen Z is like the most progressive generation. You know how to... You know how to like really appeal to Gen Z? It's by having a union.
Gen Z has typically been portrayed as the lazy generation, considering that we're coming off the backs of millennials and
millennials and Gen Xers,
so we're viewed as the lazy generation. It was like, yeah, do we tend to not get a job, not primarily want to get a job in our teen years? Yeah. I was like, I can't tell you the amount of kids that I went to high school with that were working. Like, they'd work all weekend. They'd have night shifts after school. There is one girl that I heard over the summer. I don't think she slept at all. I felt so bad for her. Because she was in a management position at a hotel chain. Her and her mother worked at the same hotel in the city. So she'd drive her car to the train station, get the train into the city after school, work, I think overnight, come back into Queens, take her car to school. I think like a couple hours of sleep in between.
Man, that sucks.
And it's like, the problem is, the problem with the workforce, it is a majority middle class citizens. So that means people that are not rich, but can also mean people that are just barely above the poverty threshold.
Yeah.
Which for New York is about 30K a year. And it's like, that was also one of the reasons why kids were put into the workforce to begin with. Because families could then take home the double income from both the adult workers and the children. Which, fun fact, schools were created to teach kids how to work in the factories.
Mm-hmm. I think that's all that's out.
Continue talking.
There's a need for unions because they keep the companies in check. They tell the companies when they go too far, and then it's either that or they force the company, and that's why it's needed. There are laws against companies doing stuff like this, but it isn't enough unless the laws are actively enforced.
Yeah, and you know, with enough lobbying, they won't get enforced.
We'll probably also talk about this a little later in the video, because there's a point that I want to mention that gets brought up about the education system and the teachers union, but...
Yeah, we're recording the second half of this episode first.
The first half is going to take us a long, long time.
This is already also like our fifth attempt at recording this.
It's been a long...
we're gonna
try to finish things up in like a minute.
Yeah. But basically, the idea is that unions exist primarily to raise the rights of the workers to the companies at charge.
Yeah.
The big faceless organizations that everybody's a figurehead. It's primary, and companies, they're primarily, we can outlast these guys, we can outlast these guys. Oh, we can't outlast these guys. Now we have to negotiate. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with the writers and the actors strike.
That's what's probably going to happen with the United Auto Workers.
Because these companies, when they shut, when these workers shut down everything that they do,
mm-hmm.
can then only operate for so long until their projected loss becomes too big.
Yeah. We've got 35 seconds left.
All
right. Concluding thoughts.
Workers unions are good.
Yep. I like the fact that Joe Biden was out on the picket lines. He's going to be doing something a little bit more.
I'll talk about that later.
Sorry, it took us so long to record another episode. We'll see you later. Bye. Yeah.